For more on all of this and more on markets, please be joined by Jim Perry, the president and CIO of Perry International Capital Partners. James, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thank you, Dan.
The jobs numbers first, but in the context of what Altman is saying about the state of the cost-benefit analysis on AI.
I think that the jobs number at 227,000 this morning was not a surprise. I think the hurricanes and weather and the Boeing strike were big factors in the low number last month, and I think this is kind of a bounce back. So generally speaking, the government numbers in that we see for the economy for employment are fairly steady, slightly below pre-pandemic levels, but as you and I have talked about a lot, they don't really pick up the state of the employment situation in the country, mainly because the Bureau of Labor Statistics doesn't know how many people are working or getting new jobs because they don't know how many people are here, right? There's probably 10, 20, 30 million people in the country that are working that the government doesn't know about. So we have to take this with a grain of salt. I think what it does tell you very quickly is that the economy is growing at about 3%, 3.2% for the fourth quarter, and it's inflating at about 3.3%. And that's pretty good. The economy is doing all right. And I think within the context of AI, I think we have a lot to look forward to, and it's a pretty optimistic story going forward.
Well, some of us have a lot to look forward to, and others have less to look forward to, as Altman sort of indicated. But yeah, the net-net and the impact at present, I mean, is there any way to sort of get a handle on, as this technology is still in its nascency, you have early adopters, and what sort of transformative impact it's registering to date?
I think it's a wild west, really. I mean, we don't really know how it's going to play out. But as Sam Altman did say, you know, in the healthcare industry and many others, AI has been here for 10 and 15 years. And I think that it's transforming healthcare, that's for sure. It's being used at every single hospital in the country. It's improving diagnostics, and it's improving people's lives. And it's reducing errors and mistakes, and I think it's going to continue to do that. It's not just healthcare, though. You know, I mean, Barron's had an article over the weekend about how AI is helping oil extraction in the Permian Basin. I don't know if you saw that or not, but, you know, the oil companies are using Microsoft Azure Cloud to increase output and reduce costs, and it's cleaner and safer for everybody who's working. So are there fewer people? Yes. But the point is that, you know, this country is sort of, what are the numbers here? I want to look at it. This country is pumping 13.5 million barrels of oil a day, up from 5 million barrels of oil a day about 10 years ago. And they're doing it at about 70% less cost. And that's all because of AI. So I think AI is here. I think it's coming. I think it's going to be bigger. It's going to be in everything. I think it's going to help energy, healthcare, the legal profession, accounting, HR, any back office or corporate sort of headquarters staff stuff. That the productivity is going to go up tremendously. So, and even government agencies will use it too. So I think it's going to be part of our lives going forward for the next 50 years, you know?
So does that mean that we're still in the NVIDIA boom lit that and you know related companies that because of the capacity that's going to need to be built, the infrastructure, and Altman also spoke to that, that there's no reason to believe that markets won't continue to see growth?
I think we're very much in an NVIDIA boom. I think that the Mag 7, or let's just call it the top 10 or 15 or 20 technology companies that are out there, continue to gain market share. It kind of reminds me, Dan, of Amazon 15, 20 years ago and Walmart before that. Amazon, famously, for 15 years, never had a net profit, right? But their revenues kept going up every single year. And Jeff Bezos always said, hey, it's not about the net income. And a lot of people said, yeah, it is, just like you're saying about AI now. But the point is that now it's the largest retailer in the world, or the country anyway, and they continue to gain market share. And I think the hyperscalers, the Microsofts and the Googles and Amazons, these guys are in the same boat. They don't really need to make that much money right now. I mean, yes, investors would like to see it. But the fact is they're gaining market share every single day with more and more companies paying them for their cloud services, which are increasingly being enhanced by artificial intelligence.
And with respect to just sort of asset prices across the board, I mean, everything is on the upswing. Gold, obviously Bitcoin, the Dow, and now people are starting to talk about, how sustainable is this? What's your prognosis on that? Is this sustainable for another quarter, two, as far as the eye can see?
Well, we'll see. I mean, first, just to finish up with AI, NVIDIA's probably got a five-year lead on just about everybody else on these chips, right? So NVIDIA is making money, and the net profitability in the S&P is really down to about seven companies over the last 4 years. So this is where the net profits are, and this is what the market's all about these days. So it's going to continue. As far as optimism is concerned going forward, I think it's pretty simple to say it's really all about spending cuts or future or prospective spending cuts from the new administration. And we think that that is going to be substantial. Maybe it's $500 billion in the first quarter or two. And this is, I'm talking about a budget deficit of $2 trillion, right? So the government spent $7 trillion bucks and brought in five, deficits two. If they could bring that budget deficit down by, say, $500, right, in the first quarter or two, that money gets sort of unlocked from the public sector and is available to the private sector. So that's a good thing. Productivity should go up. If spending comes down, and the bond market sees this right now, so the bond market's been rallying, gold's been rallying, stocks have been rallying, investors are optimistic. Corporate executives, 67% are optimistic now. The number in August was 28%, right? So executives are super bullish. Small businesses bullish. Households bullish. Even farmers are bullish, right? I saw a report yesterday that the survey of farmers is 75% of farmers are bullish. So everybody in the country realizes the new administration, if they can do what they say they're going to do, which is reduce the rising trajectory of debt and deficits in this country, inflation will come down. That's why the administration was elected into power. Inflation will come down because the majority of the people in this country named economics and inflation the number one issue of why they voted in the last election. If inflation comes down, interest rates will follow. If interest rates come down, asset values and risk assets, real estate and stocks will go up. And that's what we're seeing. The market feels optimistic because they anticipate that the new administration will be able to follow through on spending cuts in the next quarter or two.
But how long will it take before, we actually see relief in the grocery store or at the gas pump?
That's a very good question, Amy. I think with gas, it's probably easier. And we'll see that pretty quick because part of the new administration agenda really is deregulation. And I think that the Trump administration will increase production of carbon energy in this country pretty quickly. And I think that oil prices have a chance to go down to something like $2 a gallon, right, instead of three something. If that happens, imagine what would happen to all the prices of goods and services that are delivered to the people of this country, households, in places like grocery stores. Prices will start coming down, right? All this stuff that goes to the Jewel around Chicago, and Publix down in Florida, they get delivered by trucks. Those trucks have diesel fuel, right? And if diesel fuel goes down by a third in price, prices will come down. So I think you'll start seeing things pretty quickly. The problem with inflation is that a lot of it is already built into the cake, right? I mean, CPI is at 3.3. It is rising. It probably rises more in the next 2 to 3 months than it does in an anticipated fall. So I think the risk to this optimism is that inflation continues to rise because there's so much debt and there's still this big deficit and we still have to borrow money in the bond market. So, you know, if the bond market doesn't like the idea that the spending cuts are coming, they can revolt a little bit and you can see higher rates. But I think I had a long conference call about that with a client yesterday, and they're bearish on bonds. And I said, I understand the point of view, but the way I look at it, if I balance out all the risks, my risk would be I think bonds will rally before they fall. And if they do fall, and if interest rates go up a little bit from here, 4.25% to 4.5% or 4.75%, I think I'll buy them. I think people should, because I don't see interest rates going up to 5% in 6 months like they did back in 23. Sorry.
I want to get your latest on Bitcoin, since it cleared that $100,000 threshold briefly. And in particular, the story of MicroStrategy, if you're following that. I mean, the only thing that's hotter than Bitcoin right now is MicroStrategy. And do we have another sort of meme stock sort of run-up of both MicroStrategy and Bitcoin paired together that's you know, based on fumes? And this is one of those don't be caught without a chair when the music stops? Or what is your take? What is your take on that?
Bitcoin is just under 100,000. I wrote about the MicroStrategy story in my weekly last week. It's a fascinating story. It's really, let's get back to Bitcoin. Bitcoin is the ultimate momentum trade, right? It's not a currency and it's not an asset. It is a technology. And one day, perhaps in the future, the next global reserve currency of the world will be digital. That makes some sense to me if it can be done responsibly and safely, right? That's not now. That's not 5 years from now. That's not 10. But the Bitcoin trade is a momentum trade. And I think that everybody that's buying it and everybody that's speculating on it is hoping that somebody's going to buy it from them at a higher price. So from a fundamental standpoint, as an analyst, it scares me to death, right? But the point is, I've seen these things before, and the Bitcoin ETF story is a big one. The idea that the SEC chairman, Atkins, is going to come in and replace Gensler, and maybe there's a sovereign wealth fund in this country that's going to be Bitcoin. These are interesting things. And, you know, the flows into the ETFs in Bitcoin are huge, too. In this year so far, $36 billion, $36 billion have gone into Bitcoin ETFs, $8 billion since Trump was elected, right? So this is a momentum trade. It can keep going for a while. Now, the MicroStrategy story, Michael Saylor is a smart guy. He has issued convertible bonds. Last week, 2 weeks ago now, he issued a $3 billion convertible bond with a 0% coupon, right? So he doesn't have to pay the bondholders, right? And the stock converts from a bond to a stock when MicroStrategy stock goes up 55% from the day it was issued, which is up, you know, about $100 or $75 from there. So it's an unbelievable cheap way to raise money. And all he's doing is buying Bitcoin, by the way, right?
So it's leverage. The Bitcoin piece, right?
Yeah, he's using the $3 billion and buying Bitcoin, right? So it's a leveraged way to get more Bitcoin because he believes it's going to a million. And if he says, if I'm going to buy a billion, I'm going to buy 10 billion. I'm going to buy 10 billion, I'll buy 100 billion because that's what I think. So that's his strategy. And do I own MicroStrategy? No. Do I own some Bitcoin for a long time now? Yes. Do I look at the price every day? No. Do I anticipate that it's going to be a bedrock of my retirement savings fund? No. I do it so I can understand it. Do I understand it any better now than I did 10 years ago? No, I really don't. Am I an old guy who doesn't understand things like a libertarian? Yes. Every kid in the country that's 20 years old, 30 years old, they own some Bitcoin, right? They are all speculating on it. So intrinsically, I think it's not for the average generational wealth portfolio, but I think everybody should own some because as a momentum trade, it's probably got more to go.
Jim Perry is the founder and CIO of Perry International Capital Partners. Also does a nice little job of interviewing himself, as you just heard there. It's very good, Jim. We appreciate it. He's made our job a lot easier. Jim, thanks for joining us as always. Appreciate it.
I try my hardest, and I don't do very well often, but thank you for the compliment anyway. I think there's one there somewhere.